Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, joined by Peter Husey, the president of Geostrategic Analysis, a consulting firm in the Washington, D.C. area. He's also a senior fellow at the American Foreign Policy Council and a senior defense consultant at the Air Force Association. He's best known for the Husey Breakfast series that he runs in Washington, D.C. It's an absolutely incredibly important institution, bringing together both people in government and those interested in the work of government in the national security space. And it's always a delight to have him with us to talk about particularly matters involving our nuclear deterrent. Peter, welcome back. It's good to have you, sir.
Thank you, Frank. I enjoy always taking part in these broadcasts.
Well, good. Let me talk to you about a particular threat vector that I know is of concern to you and I think should be very much concerning to all of us, namely a sort of, well, axis of evil, I guess I would call it, between North Korea, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and the People's Republic of China. What are they up to, and what does it mean for us?
Well, Frank, I believe that you look at China's record of proliferating both ballistic missile technology and nuke technology is pretty prolific. And Tom Reed, you know, the former special assistant to Ronald Reagan for national security issues and former Secretary of the Air Force under President Ford, says China's not our friend when it comes to non-proliferation or, you know, global zero or any of these other things. They are probably the most prominent factor in the proliferation of nukes because they started and helped put together the Khan network in Pakistan, which, as you know, has helped every rogue state in America, in the world, to do this. And there's a back door, as our colleague Shoshana Bryant of the Jewish Policy Center says. Iran may sign a deal that looks, well, let's say it even looks good on paper, which I don't think it will. They have a back door. And that back door is Korea has shipped stuff, and they can't ship stuff to Iran unless they go through Chinese airspace. And we know that that is an open, and that our North Korean scientists and engineers have been found in Iran and vice versa.
And Peter, this is with regard to both their nuclear weapons programs, as I understand it, and their ballistic missile delivery systems. Is that right?
Yes, because the argument is that if they stop nukes, then, of course, we don't have to worry about their missiles. But the converse was, you don't have to worry about their missiles unless they have nukes on them. Well, if they keep having these missiles, and they have the biggest missiles production systems in the Middle East, is Iran, why are they spending literally billions of dollars on ballistic missiles when what's going to be on top of them is just conventional explosives?
And again, the implication here that China, which is one of the P5 plus one negotiating parties with the Iranians, is actually aiding and abetting the very nuclear weapons ambitions that we're supposedly curbing with this deal is appalling. And it should be another reason why we don't want any part of this agreement with the Iranians, as far as I'm concerned.
I think this agreement, being the cynic I am, is like the 2007 CIA report on Iran, is that it is designed to take Iran off the table for the 2016 election. That when asked about Iran or missiles or nuclear weapons, the parties can say, oh, we took care of that. We got this deal. And it takes it off the table because the intersection between missile defense, counterproliferation, using military force in the Middle East to deal with Iraq's nukes, this is the soft power, smart power alternative to that evil Bush and going into Iraq.
I have bad news for people who think they're going to pull that fraud off, Peter, and that is that I don't think there's any doubt the Iranians are going to be pushing this envelope very much in our face. Listen, Peter, let me turn to one other issue because I do want to get back to our own nuclear deterrent. But before we do, you haven't mentioned Russia, another of those negotiating partners, another of the people, the nations that is actively, I believe, enabling an awful lot of malevolent behavior on the part of the Iranians, not least of which is, of course, the transfer of these anti-aircraft defenses, the S-300s. But, Peter, we're also hearing a lot out of the Russians at the moment about their nuclear modernization program and even their willingness to use their nuclear weapons against our allies and perhaps even us. What's going on there?
Well, as you know, since 2009, our friend Mark Schneider has calculated that they've used nuclear threats, explicit nuclear threats against the U.S. and its allies, about 24 times now. I think it's probably close to 30. And that's over Ukraine and Eastern Europe and the near abroad, as we've called it. Now, you know, the Russians are the number one supplier of weapons to Iran. Our Kurdish people tell us, as you know, that the Iranians and Russians are helping to supply the ISIS folks in order to use them as a proxy to destroy the Kurds, which are the one prevention of Iran taking over all of Iraq. So there are double games, as you know, being played here. And Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea are, I think their ultimate goal is controlling the oil and gas resources of the Middle East. And if you look at what Russia's doing in nuclear weapons, it's the modernization program that exceeds, I think, anything they did during the Cold War, except for maybe parallels what they did in the 1970s and the huge buildup that became the window of vulnerability.
I remember so well, and I'm sure you do, Peter, the famous phrase of Harold Brown, who was the Secretary of Defense for part of that period, in which he said, when we build, they build, speaking of the Soviets, and when we stop building, they build. And it seems as though a lot of that's going on with us not building.
We have a relatively reasonable good plan on paper. And it's funded through the FYDP at about a $24 to $26 billion a year, which is okay. That consensus in Congress to support nuclear modernization is there, but I think it is somewhat fragile unless we get rid of the stupid budget cap on defense.
And Peter, let me just ask you, the way you put that, I think is apt. On paper, it looks good. In practice, and I know you're one of the country's preeminent authorities on these matters, and again, our guest is Peter Husey of Geostrategic Analysis, the front end of our various weapons platforms has been the subject of, if not benign neglect, perhaps malign neglect for decades now. Are you comfortable with what's on paper or, for that matter, in practice coming along in terms of modernizing the arsenal, not just the delivery systems, but the arsenal itself?
Congress has upped the nuclear support. We're about $700 million more than we were last year. There is a five-year plan to increase that up to about the $28 to $29 billion. The NNSA people under General Klotz and General Harrisack in the Air Force and Admiral Benedict in the Navy, those are the guys who, you know, as you know, handle the nuke stuff. They have in place plans to go forward to build 12 new subs. We haven't yet decided how to replace Minuteman, and the bomber award should come out in another 30 to 60 days. As I said, Frank, it's there, but it's fragile. The thing is that anti-nuclear stuff never even came up in the Senate. McConnell wouldn't let it even come up. He said it. But in the House, the bills to cut back on everything lost by over 300 votes.
Well, that's all good, Peter, but I must tell you, I'm still concerned that we don't seem to have a weapons development program, let alone a replacement, underway for very aging, nuclear systems. The Iranians are building ballistic missiles to deliver nuclear weapons. We would have ships, planes, you know, missiles, what have you, to deliver nuclear weapons. The nuclear weapons in our case, I'm afraid, are obsolete at best, and at worst are becoming downright unreliable.
Well, I think the General Harrisack, I've never seen crazy, said we went on an intellectual holiday for 20 years and just forgot to even think about these issues, and we did, from about 1993 to about 2013. And you're very right. We haven't thought seriously about what it needs to maintain deterrence and to stop the use of nuclear weapons against us. And we are just beginning to have a debate in that discussion.
Peter, we're going to have to come back to this debate because I want to get your thoughts on it as well as others of our company, because this is really the time to be making serious decisions before this deterrent problem becomes vastly more problematic. Peter Husey with the American Foreign Policy Council and the Air Force Association, as well as Geostrategic Analysis. Thanks for all you do, my friend. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, the polling company's Kellyanne Conway joins us to talk about the results of two polls she's conducted on Muslims and Sharia. It'll alarm you. Straight ahead.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.